Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan Summers, Sports Radio 101.9 FM, and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Well, it is. Good evening to you and IUB at 8:05, 41 seconds to go right along with it on a football Friday evening on your fan, New York City. Steve Summers here, you there, choreographer Peter Hoffman, Key Grip, Paulie Rosenberg. They're on the other side of the glass and 1-877-337-6666. That'd be the number as we take you right up until the Nets pregame. They're in Portland to take on the Blazers, 9:45, right here on your fan, New York City. But at 8:06, we welcome Ralph Vacchiano of SNY, covers the Giants and the Jets. And Ralph, it's been too long, but thank you on this Friday evening for giving us a couple of minutes of your time.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Steve. I cover the Giants and the Jets, so really this is the highlight of basically my entire year.
Obviously, you've been drinking again.
A little bit, yeah. Sure.
Well, wait just a minute. Wait a second. Well, here's the thing, Ralph. Earlier in the program, I predicted that because both fan bases are fit to be tied, that the game ought to end and probably will end in a tie. What do you think?
I think that this has been such a ridiculous football season that I wouldn't rule anything out at all. It would probably have to be 0-0 because I don't know that I've got enough faith that these teams will score. But sure, I mean, it would be a fitting end.
Where's the pressure? Is it more with Shurmur and the Giants? Is it more with Adam Gase and the New York Jets? Who is feeling, or who should be feeling, from your point of view, a little bit more with the pressure?
You know, well, they're probably both teams, both coaches are feeling it a lot at the moment. But I think this week the pressure is a little more on Pat Shurmur and the Giants. You know, for a couple of reasons. One is that Adam Gase and the Jets, in theory, bottomed out last week. You know, they lost to a team that is seemingly trying to lose, and it's hard to imagine anything being lower than that. You know, the Giants, mm-hmm. in theory, are better than the Dolphins. So, mm-hmm. you know, we now know the Jets are rock bottom, and we can't imagine that things can get worse. With the Giants, though...
And yet the Jets beat Dallas, and the Giants lost twice to them.
Yeah, which makes no sense at all. That Cowboys anomaly, we can't figure out even a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Giants now, if they lose to the Jets seem like the worst team in football, and you know that there is a bitter rivalry between the owners of these teams, and you know, whatever embarrassment and anger that John Mara and Steve Tisch are feeling right now, if they lose to the Jets in this miserable season, I think, you know, it will get exponentially worse.
What, and we see that Daniel Jones has, certainly speaking of the Giants, of course, has a great upside. He's got the footwork, he's got the legs, he's got the attitude. He seems to have the football IQ. He just doesn't hold on to the football very long, that's for sure, with the 16 turnovers. How do the Giants plan on correcting that?
Well, they're going to drill that into him. They're going to, you know, remind him every practice, show him the film. And a lot of that has to do with experience. You know, you get used to the idea, more so in college, when guys are coming after you, they're coming after the ball, and they're bigger and stronger and can swat it out of your hands a little easier. So I think over time he'll realize that you know, a lot of these sometimes are he's trying to make a play. The ball's out because he's thinking a little ahead. If I can, you know, just escape this pressure, I can make a play. Sometimes it's better just to tuck the ball and fall down and take the sack. And I think he'll realize that over time.
And the offensive line certainly doesn't help. Here comes the pressure. Here comes from the blind side, even from the side. He can see better over to the right side. And here it comes. And the same thing with Sam Darnold. The difference between the two that we have seen so far is that there has been, in only seven games for Daniel Jones, more growth, more development than we've seen in a year and half a season with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, what's happening with Sam Darnold, I just did a story for SNY.TV today. One of the scouts I talked to sort of rated all the young quarterbacks in the league, said what's happening with Sam Darnold is alarming. But the scouts also point out that the Jets have such a mess on their hands right now that it's almost unfair to fully evaluate him. One thing we don't know, he did lose his early part of the season to mono.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how much that took out of him. You know, what he lost just by missing those weeks, what he lost physically in those weeks. And in a way, he's just sort of catching up now. So maybe that's part of it. The offensive line, if it's not the worst offensive line in the league, I don't know what is. So that certainly has a big part in it as well. And the coach too. I think there's the jury's still out on the Adam Gase Sam Darnold partnership, obviously given their records. So I think there's a lot of circumstances around Sam Darnold where people are watching and they're a little bit worried. They think there's talent there and he'll get out of it, but I think everybody wants to start seeing some signs soon because this was supposed to be the year that he kind of arrived.
Have you seen, and anyone who has either read you or watched you or listened to you know the game. What have you seen from Adam Gase that leads you to believe that, A, he's any kind of a quarterback whisperer or quarterback or offensive guru in any way, shape, or form? What have you seen from him that could be, in yet a half a season, something positive about him as a head coach?
Well, I mean, it's going to be an unfair answer to him, but the answer is nothing. I mean, there's just nothing good that he's done offensively or with his quarterback in the first half of the season. And the reason it's unfair to him is when you, again, look at the circumstances of what happened, he loses Darnold. He loses his backup. He went to a third stringer, Luke Falk, who clearly was not ready to play, and that took its toll on the offense. After that, that's where you get a little kind of skittish about the Gase-Darnold partnership, because certainly you saw some signs in the Dallas game, but in the rest of it, you're not seeing this offense click. You're not seeing what we all thought Gase would bring out of Darnold. And maybe, and I really do believe that offensive lines are key in this. The fact that he's on the run and under siege, that has a lot to do with it as well. I would like to see Adam Gase get a shot with Darnold with an actual line in front of him. And I think that it could work. But it's speculative at this point, because the truth is, in these first eight games, it's impossible to say Adam Gase has done a good job.
And it isn't that either team has Julio Jones or DeAndre Hopkins or
right
any of the top wide receivers that can also help out the quarterback play as well.
Right, no question about it. And the Jets, you know, they trumpeted their wide receivers a little bit in the summer as better than the sum of the parts. You know, you didn't have the Julio Jones, but you had Jamison Crowder, who was going to be a big, slot receivers in the Adam Gase offense are huge, and he had a chance to have a big year. And they thought Robbie Anderson could be more than he was. But then, you know, they lose Quincy Enunwa to an injury. Demarius Thomas comes over, but he's not really what he once was. So there's certainly not a lot of help. They lose Chris Herndon, the big tight end who was supposed to help. So all of that factors in as well. And it factors in with Le'Veon Bell as well, because, you know, he was supposed to be a huge weapon and a huge help for Darnold. But obviously the offensive line not being there makes life harder on him as well.
Yeah, I was going to get to the two running backs. Let me ask you about what Golden Tate had to say about the rookies making all those mistakes and us veterans are getting upset about it. What about some of the veterans on the team and the mistakes that they make? Are we beginning to see now with some deflation with spirit and attitude and desire and energy and passion? Are we beginning to see more finger pointing now and blame to go around with everybody else except me and us? Are we about to see that the second half of the season from both teams?
Well, you could. There's no doubt about it. And we've both seen enough football and enough of these to really in any sport that once the losing starts, if there's a lot of season left, veterans can get frustrated, especially in football where careers are short. They don't like the idea of wasting a season, especially when it's because of rookie mistakes and young players. I don't know that we're at the finger-pointing stage yet. I think that the little bit I've heard of grumbling from players is more, you know, a little bit about challenging the rookies, getting them to kind of realize, you know, it's time to step up. You're in the NFL now. We can't just call you a rookie, and, you know, that's an excuse. But the longer it goes, yeah, there's no question. I think teams will get upset. Some veterans will probably pack it in. That's only natural. And honestly, it's why I think that as silly as it is to say that this is a big game between the Giants and the Jets, it is to me because the loser of this game, if you think things are bad now, it could really go downhill in a hurry. And I think you might see that because whatever team that loses is going to be embarrassed.
That's why I was saying earlier, Ralph, and we're talking with Ralph Vacchiano of SNY Television, of course, and he covers both the Giants and the Jets, and he could probably talk about any other and every other team in the NFL as well. Ralph, I said earlier in the program that this is a must-win for both teams, and that you're not going to hear when it's not a game for either team to make the playoffs, or certainly not a game that would eliminate them from any kind of playoff competition, yet I'm calling it a must-win for both teams.
I think you're right, and I think it's not for the usual reasons, but it's for sanity. It's for having hope the rest of the way. Think about the fan bases of these teams. Mm-hmm. If they lose to one of the other New York teams, and all you have left is, you know, the end of November and December and nothing to play for, those stadiums are going to be really empty. They might be anyway, but there'll be a real deflation in whatever team loses. A win might get a little bit of a spark. I mean, you know, the Jets are looking for a reason to feel good. You know, something to see, some positives to see, some reasons to think that, you know, this, the Adam Gase experiment, the Sam Darnold drive, people are looking to see that this isn't all a failure, that there's some hope on the horizon. And I think, in a way, Giants fans are too. So for fan sanity, for sanity from the owners, who, like I said earlier, are going to be very angry if they lose to the other team in New York, it just could get really bad for the loser. And, you know, I think they recognize it. I think probably the players recognize it less than the coaches and the people in the front office. They all know that there's a lot at stake. And, you know, I've talked to enough in each front office to know that everybody's a little wary of, you know, oh my gosh, if we lose this game, what could happen?
Yeah. Finally, after a week, we had Adam Gase. We had Adam Gase, and we had Joe Douglas, and we had Jamal Adams getting together. Do you believe either side from what we were told went on during the course of that meeting last Monday?
Oh, I'm sure there's some truth in there about, you know, how they patched it up and everybody's happy now. But the real truth is we're not going to know if this relationship has been repaired until the off season. Mm-hmm. It's sort of Jamal Adams' next move. Is he going to request a trade? Is he going to, he's eligible to ask for a new contract finally. I'm sure he's going to do that. Are the Jets going to give it to him and give him a respectable offer, or are they going to say this is too much and you're a problem and let's move on? So all of it now is just words to help them get through the season. I think, especially on Adams' side, there's definitely some hard feelings, and you know, we'll see in a few months if either of them are willing to put their money where their mouth is to save this relationship.
I think he's going to be dealt. Do you think the same?
I think the signs are pointing that way. I believe that it's going to depend on the offer. I don't think they're just going to dump him. I don't think this is, you know, like Dave Gettleman with Odell Beckham, where he, you know, saying, oh, I didn't sign him to trade him, but he was kind of looking around, maybe see what's out there. I think that they'll look at the market, and if they can trade a player like him and he'll have value to somebody else, maybe a little more than the Jets, and they can get a couple of first-round picks or a first and a second, they might do it. But if the offer is not good enough, I think they believe he's a guy you can build around.
Ralph, I have, and I'm going to say something loaded with metaphors, that both Le'Veon Bell and Saquon Barkley are like runners left in scoring position, and they are only a pitch, or maybe a better, or better said, a pitch out away from hitting a home run. Why have we seen such lack of, I know from quarterback play, I know from offensive line, but why have we not seen from either of these two game breakers, the difference makers, home run hitters, if you will, why has it been so disappointing in terms of production and success for both running backs?
Yeah, it's been kind of amazing to watch, and I've talked to enough people on both teams and people around the league and just people who watch the games that, every week it seems you're watching both of them and people are saying, oh, he looks like he's ready to break one. He's almost broken one right there. He's so close, and it doesn't happen. I think some of that has to do with, I think a lot of that has to do with the offensive line. If you don't get these guys the initial hole, they're not going to be able to bust off those long runs. I think in the case of the Jets, it's been a little bit of the offensive coordinator, or in their case, Adam Gase, not being creative enough to find the open space for Le'Veon Bell. Saquon Barkley, before he got hurt, did have a few explosive plays, maybe not the touchdowns that he had, but he had a couple of long catches, long runs, and it looked like things were starting to click, and then he got hurt, which didn't help. But with Bell, I'm not sure he's had a gain over 20 yards all season long, and it's surprising because he looks the same when you watch him. He's got the hesitation behind the line and then the quick burst and all the things that made him good. He's just getting tackled in 3 yards as opposed to actually breaking the tackle. And some of that scheme, some of that's line, and probably some of that's a little bit of him.
And we heard Joe and Evan have a weekly spot with Michael Irwin, and he made an interesting comment when he was on with the two of them earlier in the week, that he would have gotten rid of Adam Gase as soon as he heard Adam Gase say he had no use for Le'Veon Bell. Can you make it up, Ralph?
Yeah, that seems harsh, but yeah, it was not. Now, Adam Gase, in his defense, never came out and said that, but it was certainly reported that behind the scenes he said that wasn't that he didn't like Le'Veon Bell, it was that he didn't want to spend that kind of money on a running back. I kind of understand, and this is like the argument of should the Giants have drafted Saquon Barkley or Sam Darnold, you value the quarterback more with Le'Veon Bell. As you're seeing, you're spending all that money on a running back, and that's great. He's a great weapon, but maybe you should have spent that money on the offensive line because with a better offensive line and an average running back, you might have a better running game right now. So I kind of get where Adam Gase was coming from. I do think that once once the money was spent, I think he's been all in on Le'Veon Bell. I just don't think he really has the tools at the moment to use him right.
Longest run of the season for Bell, 17 yards.
Yeah.
In week two against the Browns. Longest run, Ralph.
It's not good. You would think accidentally he would have broken one longer than that. And, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's probably not getting many runs where he gets through the line of scrimmage anymore. It's just far too often he's hitting the backfield and thrown right off his stride.
Who has the worst in-game management, in-game coaching? Ooh. And with the man coverage with Greg Williams, never got out of that.
Yeah.
And we have seen with Shurmur, he'll learn someday that to challenge a pass interference call or defensive holding is a waste of time, a waste of a challenge, a waste of a timeout. who is the worst or most both are bad, but who's the most egregious with the in-game coaching and adjustments that need to be made but aren't being made?
You know what? Right now, I would give it to Adam Gase and his staff. And Pat Shurmur, my issue with watching him coach sometimes is just that he's inconsistent, which maybe can be a good thing, but you know, sometimes he'll make a decision on a fourth down to punt, and then in a very similar situation, he'll decide to go for it. And sometimes there doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason with that, or the challenges, the red zone calls, things like that. Adam Gase, we're talking about a small sample size here, but we are looking at a team that doesn't adjust very well. And maybe I think his argument and Greg Williams' argument would probably be they don't have the personnel to make a lot of adjustments. But, you know, I have the pleasure of watching Jets games with Bart Scott, who's, of course, on your airwaves there at WFAN. And he can look at some of those plays and see, you know, this is where the defense is coming from. He can say, this is what you do to adjust, and we'll watch the rest of the game, and it'll be the same defensive call, and we'll never see the adjustment that is made. And sometimes it seems simple as put an extra guy in to protect, you know, put somebody in motion. And it just doesn't get done. And so I think that right now Gase is doing the worst job probably of the two, or at least the more maddening job as I'm watching the games.
Maybe the MVP for the New York Jets is Joe Douglas. Jury is out on him. We can't get all over him. How about Dave Gettleman?
Another one who, much like his coach, can be maddeningly inconsistent. You know, will do things that defy logic. You know, he will make moves that seemingly are to win now, and then make moves where he's accumulating draft picks and trying to build a young team. I think he wants the best of both worlds, and that hasn't quite happened yet. You know, does things like the Leonard Williams trade, where I get it, Williams is a young player, and I could see why a team would want him, but they could have saved the draft picks and signed him after the season. And I don't know why they felt the urgency to bring him in for 8 games when they're sitting at 2-6. you know, he did. I will say this for Dave Gettleman: he got them a star running back in Saquon Barkley. He drafted a quarterback of the future. You know, the offensive line isn't great, but it is better. And you know, the jury's still out on the young players on his defense. I don't know what they're going to be, but I've got to give them more than 8 games to find out. So he's less incomplete than Joe Douglas is, but you know, you can't say it's been impressive so far. I think he's, you know, time will tell whether he's done anything right.
Which of the two teams will turn things around faster? Which of the two teams starts to win before the other?
I actually think it's going to be the Giants, and I'm not exactly sure of either one of them doing it, but I think the Giants have enough pieces they're going to have $70 million or so in cap room this offseason. They're finally going to have some money to spend, and they're going to have another high draft pick that they can sort of augment the pieces that they're missing and be respectable next year. They've got the quarterback now, and he looks like he's going to be okay. So I think by next year they could be respectable. With the Jets, I got to tell you, the more they do, the more they shopped or listened to offers for Jamal Adams and Le'Veon Bell at the trading deadline, the more it feels like Joe Douglas wants to rebuild completely. That, you know, he's not happy with the team that he took over and wants to start over from scratch. And I can't say for sure until I see what he's going to do, but it just feels like the Jets fans are going to be in for yet another rebuilding project, which seems to happen every 2 years there.
All right, Ralph, before we let you go, and can't thank you enough for the time, that's for sure. Choose your poison, give us your prediction, and give us your score.
You know, it's funny. For an article I wrote yesterday on SNY.TV, I went position by position with the teams, and I had trouble finding a place where the Jets have the edge. And I think the Giants are going to win this game because they just have more talent. They're a little bit less of a mess right now. I think that the defenses are, both teams are not very good at the moment, and there's a lot of holes, and maybe this is the game where all the offensive stars finally break out. So I actually think we could be in for a good game of bad football, if that makes sense. And I'm going to pick the Giants to win let's say 27-20.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought you might say, because the Giants are 2-7, that they would get 27, and the Jets 1-7, that they might get 17.
Oh, that would have made a lot more sense. I should have thought this through.
Ralph, you're the best at what you do, and we can't thank you enough for giving us a good half hour. Thanks so much.
Anytime, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Ralph Vacchiano of SNY with the Jets and the Giants.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.